Forces Radio.
This is BFBS.
BFBS. Original music specials.
You, me, at six.
With Hal Stewart.
Well, somebody told me that I would be a dreamer for life. Somebody told me I would never reach the other side. Well, you see them all years, but cross your fingers and yours to lose. What if I told you
My name's Hal Stewart. This is Forces Radio BFBS, and that song was Lived a Lie by Surrey's Finest. They've been together since 2004, the all-male rock group that is You, Me at Six. Lead vocalist Josh Franceschi and rhythm guitarist Max Hellyer are with me to talk about their career to date, new album, and of course, their respect for our fabulous Armed Forces.
BFBS. Original music specials.
You, me, at six.
With Hal Stewart. Hal Stewart.
You've probably been asked this a million times. I'm not that creative. You know what the first question's going to be.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess before I ask it?
How do we get our band name?
Yeah.
It's trying to go down to the boozer and have a beer. You go, you, me at six, we meet down the pub.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good band name. We'll stick with that one. One that we've lasted for 12, 13 years now.
Anyone in the band, Chris, Matt, Dan, that have said, guys, we got to think about this name.
Too late now, sad to say. It's been 12, 13 years. If we change our name, I think everybody's going to be like, they're just called Six now. And people will be like, well, that's weird, isn't it? Well, why have you done that?
Kind of worked for Prince.
Yeah, he just had a sign, didn't he? So that's quite hard to say, but he is Prince after all.
Something to think about. So what's there to do in Weybridge?
Nothing. That's why none of us live there anymore.
Is that why you formed a band?
Yes, I would say that's why we formed a band, because we played at Weybridge Hall quite a lot, because that was probably the only thing to do in Weybridge.
Okay, now I want to know for you individually, Josh, let's start with you.
Yes, boss.
Your musical influences growing up.
Bill Smith.
Okay, no, I'm buying that, because actually, yeah. Decent rapper.
I liked Beautiful South. My parents would show me stuff like The Police, The Eagles, Jethro Tull, The Who, then a bit of Zeppelin, Fleetwood Mac. Got into guitar music, and the earliest bands I can remember really being obsessed with were bands like Linkin Park and Blink-182 and...
That makes more sense like that, yeah. than Will Smith, you know, for people who have actually heard your music.
He had the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as well, so I was like, what? He does music as well, I'm going to check that out.
Max, for yeah. you growing up, was it similar, Linkin Park, Blink-182, that kind of vibe?
Yeah, when I was discovering music, I remember flicking on Kerrang television, so I was in, I think my first love was Nirvana. You know, I think that's the reason why I played guitar as Kurt Cobain, and just when you hear Smells Like Teen Spirit, Lithium, Come As You Are, that was my introduction. But then I grew from there, you know, into, like Josh said, Linkin Park, Incubus, even to like metal music like Metallica, Iron Maiden. I have a wide scope of music love, you know, and my parents, I grew up on some really strange stuff from my parents. So obviously David Bowie, Pink Floyd, The Beatles, but then I also had, my dad was really into soul music. So I had like George Benson, Al Green, Grover Washington Jr. So I had a very wide mixed taste. Yeah. And it's still like that to this day.
Well, that's probably the best way to be. If you've got that many influences, then you can craft music that's around so many and pay homage to so many. Josh, if I was to say to you, from all of those that you grew up loving and listening to, if you were to pick just one song that really spoke to you and you think, if I could hear it again, maybe I'm on a desert island, go listen to it for a while, what's that song?
I would go with Pardon Me by Incubus. Listen to Make Yourself, or even Make Yourself by Incubus, but I listened to that record non-stop when I first heard it for maybe 6 months.
I never thought I would be at 23 on the verge of spontaneous combustion, woe is me. But I guess that it comes with a territory, an ominous landscape of never-ending calamity. I need you to hear, I need you to see, but I am at, or I can take an exploding scene, bigger than an impossibility. Can relate, cause lately I've been thinking of combusted kitchen as a welcome vacation from the burdens of the planet Earth, like gravity, hypocrisy, and the perils of being in free. But thinking so much takes time.
Bye.
Forces Radio BFBS, Hal Stewart here, talking with two members of You, Me at Six, Max and Josh. Josh, the lead vocalist. So, Josh, can you actually remember the first record you ever bought?
It was Will Smith, Greatest Hits. That was the first record I bought, yeah.
Okay, and Max, can you remember the first record you bought?
You know, it's really funny. It's also Will Smith.
No, really?
Yeah.
The two
big,
of you?
It was Big Willie Style.
Big Willie Style, that's it, yeah.
Okay, well, that's an easy one. Forces
Radio. You, Me, at Six, with Hal Stewart. BFBS.
Max Hellyer, rhythm guitarist. This is a question that we'll start by asking you. The first artist or band you paid to see?
First artist that I paid to see was Green Day at Wembley Arena when they were doing the International Super Hits Tour.
I remember that. And wow, I mean, if you were influenced by anyone, Green Day's a pretty good place to start, right?
Yeah, definitely. I got pulled up on stage with Green Day another time when I went and saw them on the American Idiot Tour. So I think that's kind of the reason why I wanted to play live music.
Tell me everything about that.
American Idiot Tour 2005. They're playing Hammersmith Apollo. I dressed up like Billy Joel, obviously, because when you're like that kid going to a gig and the iconic look they had at that stage in their career, I mimicked it. And somehow he pulled me up on stage. I didn't play guitar. I squirted a water pistol. But hey-ho, little enough of that. I got on stage with Green Day and seeing 5,000 people in a room, I think, at that early age in my life, I was like, wow, this is an unbelievable feeling. This is what I want to do.
Do you reckon that Green Day have any idea?
No, if I ever bump into Billy Joel or Green Day, I'm going to tell them the story just because I think they'll absolutely find it hilarious.
I think they would, yeah. And Josh, can you also recall the first artist or band that you actually paid good money to see?
The problem is the first group of shows I went to, my dad's took me to them, so I didn't really pay for them. The first show I remember being like, what's going on here, is when I went actually with Max to see a band called Thrice in Islington Academy. And there was a band called
The Dillinger Escape Plan.
The Dillinger Escape Plan. And they were quite heavy. The singer like headwalked or like crowd surfed during the first note of the first song. And I was in like the first three rows of Max. And I was like, what is going on here? I'd been to arena shows before then, but to go into like a club and like watch live music and be around that. And I just definitely like Max said about his anecdote, it's like a switch went on in my head. And I was like, oh, right. OK, well, that's live music. Obviously, it's great to go and see a show in an arena, but being down in the front and really getting into it, it was an eye-opener for me. It was like a switch in my head that I wanted to do it.
Yeah, and it's great that you actually got to see it firsthand and you think, OK, I'd like to end up doing that. But do you remember the first time you got paid to perform?
Yeah, actually, we put on a show at Weybridge Hall. Basically, all of our mates just came. Talking 2005. Yeah, I was 15. I know I was 15 because I was meant to be... My dad deliberately took my mum out for dinner and a movie that night so that she thought I was going to be at home revising for my GCSEs, and I wasn't. I walked down to the venue and we'd put on the show ourselves, as I said. So we sort of like, at the end of the night, we had like this little kitty of cash and we were like, right, here's 300 quid each. And it was sort of like, wow, we've just made £300 from putting on a show in a local venue. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and you'd only been together for like, what, a few months?
Yeah, and we were just basically playing, don't even know what sort of music, it was probably awful, but it was just songs that we wrote in a garage somewhere. So.
But it's like that, isn't it, Max? You know, the first song that you ever wrote.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be something you'd be particularly happy to pull out and read right now, right? I mean, apart from Max, I think most people wrote bad songs first.
Well, I wouldn't say it was good, but I think you always need to have that, it needs to be rubbish. You know, always the first song or your first adventures in music, you're not going to be amazing straight away. And I think knowing that, it was like you just got to perfect and keep working at it. And I was quite happy to write the first rubbish song because it's like that's one out the way now. Yeah. Let's move to the next ones now. I've finally done writing a song, especially at that age as well. It's like, when are you going to write your first song? Where are you going to be when you write that first song? And look where it's taken us to now, you know. It's like it's an adventure and a journey that you're always going to look back on.
Now, not that you have to, but who would you pay to see now?
I paid money to go and see Arctic Monkeys about 2 weeks ago. And it was probably, I've seen Arctic Monkeys probably about two handful of times now. And it was probably the best time I've seen them perform, to be honest with you.
You know what I'm taking from you guys is you respect and clearly enjoy Yorkshire music.
It's the best.
It is the best. I'm from Yorkshire, so obviously I'm going to say that. And actually, I think, you know, Sheffield arguably the very best. And you've mentioned the beautiful South and Arctic Monkeys already. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying where this is going. I mean, Josh, if you throw in that you'd pay to go and see Pulp, I think we're all good.
Sure, let's go with that then. That,
I just suddenly fucking was trying to think of another band from Sheffield and I was not that contemporary at all. Have you got colour in your cheeks? Do you ever get that fear that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summer in your teeth? Are there some aces up your sleeve? Have you no idea that you're in deep? I dreamt about you nearly every night this week. How many secrets can you keep? 'Cause there's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow, and I play it on repeat until I fall asleep, spilling drinks on my settee. Do I wanna know if this feeling flows both ways? Sad to see you go. Sort of hoping that you'd stay. Man, we both know that the nights were mainly made for saying things that you can't say tomorrow day. Crawling back to you. Never thought I'd call. Have you got the goods? Been wondering if your heart's still open, and if so, I wanna know what time it should simmer down and poker up. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just I'm constantly on the cusp. I've tried been to kiss you, I don't know if you feel the same as I do, but we could be together if you wanted to. Do I wanna know if this feeling flows both ways? Sad to see you go. Was sort of hoping that you'd stay. Playing song selections from You, Me at Six's Josh Franceschi and Max Hellier here. That was Arctic Monkeys' Do I Wanna Know. Forces
Radio. You, Me at Six with Hal Stewart. BFBS.
Do you listen to your own music, guys?
Yeah, I think if you're not the biggest fan of your own music, then why would anybody else remotely like it? Mm. So I often listen to our bands. I've been listening to the new record. We finished it probably last
April, May time.
Last April, May. So, and then it was all mixed and mastered as well. So, yeah, I've just been listening to that quite a lot. just with anticipation of what are people going to think of it, are people going to enjoy it as much as we've enjoyed making it. We're doing a tour for our, a 10-year anniversary tour for our first record, sort of revisiting those songs, even just as to try and get my head around doing that again sort of thing, you know. So, yeah, listen to our own band.
And when it comes to touring, do you have a favourite country to tour?
Australia or Germany.
Interesting. Now, we've got a lot of audience members in Germany, as you probably know, with the sort of the military, and I know you're quite big there. So that's obviously something that's going to go down quite well and resonate with our audience. Have you got a specific city in Germany that you like?
Cologne.
Oh, yeah.
Or actually, we've had a... I know it's pretty much... Well, it's not the same place, but Frankfurt/Wiesbaden, where we have good shows there. So Germany's really like... For live music and for fans of music, Germany is sort of like a different breed, to be honest, of audience. They know what they're doing when they go to a show. They're there to let loose and chuck away all inhibitions and just have a good night. So we always enjoy going there. And the beer's really good, so you know, it's always a bonus.
I thought you might say Japan.
Japan's good for if you want, just be absolutely shocked to the core culturally and be like, wow, what's going on here? It's just an incredibly beautiful country. It's just an abundance of history and architecture and everything.
It feels like it's out of this world, to be honest with you. It's one of those places that I remember going to the first time and feeling like I wasn't on planet Earth. Yeah. It just felt so different to anywhere else I've been to in my life.
Well, Max, is it true that when you do a gig in Japan, when you leave, there isn't a load of rubbish left around like you'd get, saying, doing a festival in the UK? They tend to clean up.
I think Japan, full stop, is a clean place, and they respect their country.
During the World Cup, the Japanese fans would stay after a game and clear up the stadium, or where they'd been sitting.
Even the Japanese team were clearing up the dressing room.
Like, I saw that. They were leaving a little note, didn't they?
Yeah, thanks for having us. Left it spotless. I mean, that's just class.
Hey, you know what? I'm glad you brought up the World Cup, because having your music played in major football stadiums, that's got to be the moment when you were like, pinch me, that's it, forget Weybridge Hall, this is it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were on the World Cup FIFA playlist for all the stadiums this summer, which was pretty mad. But I remember the first time, I'm a season ticket holder at Arsenal, and I remember when they played it in the Emirates the first few times, that blew my mind. But the one that really got me was I took my dad to the FA Cup final against Hull a few years ago now, like 2014, and they played our song as the final song during halftime before the players came back out. And I remember just looking around Wembley Stadium just thinking, this is ridiculous.
Which song was that?
A song called Cold Night. I was pretty wasted because we were losing 2-0 within like 15 minutes. I was like, I'm not going to do this sober. So, and then by the end of the day, when we won 3-2 and having that happen, and yeah, it's just one of those days that you don't really forget.
I knew the moment.
talking here on Forces Radio BFBS with You, Me at Six members Josh and Max. Are you all football fans?
Pretty much, so yeah. There's at least three of Mac, me, myself, Max and Dan are all passionate fans. And Matt and Chris, what I like about them is they'll watch it and they'll have a laugh with it. And they're like, oh, yeah. God, you're watching football again or talking about football again. They're,
I don't know how much Dan will be liking football right now because his team's Manchester United.
Well, that was my next question. I was going to ask if you're all Gunners, but clearly not.
Well, no. Josh and myself are Arsenal, but Dan's Manchester United, Chris is Tottenham, and Matt just kind of floats with whichever team comes to his head at that time.
I mean, I wasn't sure because I've never been to Weybridge. It's in Surrey, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so there isn't like a team that's massively huge there, is there?
Well, we've got Woking up the road.
Okay, yeah.
And we've got Staines Town.
Right. So I think yes, you're right, there isn't a big team was the answer to that.
I think the closest team that could be big would be Brentford.
Oh, the Bees.
Yeah.
They're pretty good actually at the moment. So
yeah, they're in the Championship. They're doing pretty good.
Get on the Bees bandwagon before they get to the Premier League. Then you could be like, you know, the Bees official band. You know, they could get you out at half time. You'd do like Fatboy Slim with Brighton, you know, be synonymous with them.
Yeah. As long as we don't have to dress up like Bees, I'd be fine with that.
Okay. I like that you've even thought about that. I mean, outside of Surrey, where is your favourite place?
I went to Tulum in Mexico a few years ago, and that was one of my favourite trips I've ever done.
Isn't that a cheese?
Tulum.
Could be cheese.
I'm not sure.
I might have made that up.
I don't know enough about cheese.
I don't know enough about Mexico.
To adequately respond to that. But,
Shinfo. But cheese. Yeah. We like a bit of cheese.
We like cheese. what's great about this band is essentially it's a vehicle for us to see the world, you know? So we've been very lucky in that sense. We've been to some stunning places. I mean, I remember played Bali in Indonesia and we played a venue which is literally on the beach. So we spent the day at the beach, played the show, and it was during the summertime for Australians. So February, January, February time. And the show was just full of Australians. There's maybe only like a handful of people from Bali.
Well, we didn't think many people were going to turn up because a few of the shows we played in Indonesia, I think that was about 50 people inside a 5,000 capacity venue. So
yeah, you don't need to say that.
We don't need to see that, no. But just accept the scene. So we drank a load of Long Island iced teas before the gig because we were like, let's just have some fun with this gig. And then all of a sudden there's 800 Australians going wild in this venue. And we're like, did this really just happen to us right now?
That's terrifying.
But we came on stage and we went back to this villa that the promoter had got us rather than getting us a hotel. I just remember like in this pool at about, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning, just sitting there being like, this is what we get paid to do. This is ridiculous. So I never would have imagined going to Indonesia growing up, you know, or by the time being in our 20s, knowing that we've been around America 3 or 4 times, you know, coast to coast. So we've been lucky and seen a lot of the world at, you know, at different times, different seasons. So we've got a taste for a lot of things.
Have you got a favourite venue to play?
I think we're playing actually in this tour. Brixton Academy is my favourite. It's the one that sort of holds the most importance in terms of when we were younger. I used to use this website called MySpace quite a lot. And I put in my profile that by the time we were 20 that we were going to headline Brixton. Cool. And we did it when I was 19. And I was like, that's a touch. So, but just always love going to that venue. I just think there's that. I like venues that have character. I like venues that, you know, the best have come through there at some point. That can be said, to be fair, for many venues around the world. But Brixton is the one in London. It's like, you can be anywhere in the world and someone goes, oh, well, you know, what kind of venues do you play in England? You go, oh, we play Brixton Academy. Anybody from any background knows about Brixton Academy. So, yeah, for me, that's a special place. What about you, Max?
When it was around, I would have said the Astoria because that was kind of my haunt growing up. I was at the Astoria in London probably about 4 times a week going to gigs. So, and then when they knocked it down, it was quite a sad day. For a train station. But I think we were the last unsigned band to headline and sell out the Astoria. So I think that's always something we can always hold under our badge of honour.
Yes.
Going forward as a band. But there's so many venues across the world like that have been amazing places to play. Like we were saying, there's been venues in Australia that we've played. Where was that venue in, I think it's Melbourne. It's called The Forum that we played about a couple of years ago, which was an unbelievable venue. And it was a great gig for us there. America, we've played, what is it, the Gramercy Irving Plaza, which is also another place that a lot of artists have been through. It's quite a famous venue.
Palladium, Los Angeles,
we've done. So there's always a little few places across the world we've played that I always remember.
Josh, when you were on MySpace, did you keep Tom in your top 8?
Hell no. He was out early doors, man.
Yeah, but you feel bad, like, looking over his shoulder? I can't get rid of that guy. He's always smiling.
Well, where is he now?
Good question.
You got Mark Zuckerberg. We don't have Tom.
Yeah, we don't have a top 8 either. And if we did, you guys would be in mine.
Would we be your profile song?
Yes. and it would be 3 a.m.
Six with Hal Stewart.
Forces Radio.
BFBS. Now, we've been talking about your influences, artists, bands, your favourite venues to play across the world. It kind of got me thinking, which band from any era would you most like to tour with?
Any era, dead or alive?
That's it, you can have both. I mean, I don't think it'd be as good a tour if they're dead, but you know what I'm saying? You can actually pick absolutely any time, any place, anywhere.
Whenever I see that film, Almost Famous, I just instantly think, I wish I'd been touring during that time. Free love, free just, alcohol,
I thought it was
free
full
drugs.
Stop after that.
No, just like, free love, baby. I mean, wow.
Who would be the band? Can we have one dead and one alive?
I mean, it's just me making it up, so it's not a real thing.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Well, you know, I don't think I would even cared. I'd just been surf my face. So I'd just been happy to be there. So you could pick the line off. I'd just be there for the good times.
I was having this conversation. That's why I was asking dead or alive, because we had this conversation. If you could sit around a table with three people, one dead, one alive, and one dead or alive, who would it be? And my dead choice was actually Bob Marley. Because I think Bob Marley is that musician that you hear across the world that is like a rejoicing and coming together, and it's all about love and sharing positivity and all that. And I just think to share a stage with an artist like Bob, who's renowned across the world, Mr. Marley, Bob. Well. you know, it would be an amazing feeling. And I think you can go anywhere in the world and you hear it. You know, you can hear his music and people know it. And I think that's a sign of an icon. who stood the test of time and always will be about for music. So he'll be my dead person that I'd like to play with. My live artist, righty-ho then. I think it's got to be somebody like Foo Fighters, you know, because like Dave Grohl, the link back to Nirvana when I started all my music career. We've played festivals with them, but we've never played a gig with them. They just seem like a great bunch of characters and just seems like they have a great night out on a few beers.
I've got another confession to make. I'm your fool. Everyone's got their chains to break. Holding you. Were you born to resist? Don't be abused. Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you? Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you? Are you gone and on to someone new? Somewhere to hang my head without your news. You gave me something that I didn't have, but at no use. I was too weak to give in, too strong to lose. My heart is under arrest again, but I break loose. My head is giving me
arguably one of my favourite choices so far. Foo Fighters, Best of You, that selected by Josh and Max, who I'm speaking with here, from You, Me at Six.
Forces Radio.
BFBS.
You, Me at Six. With Hal Stewart.
The latest album. Tell me all about it.
What, Six?
Yeah.
Our latest record, lovely stuff.
VI.
It's a fun 35-minute record. So when the minute you put it on, it finishes and you're like, oh, I'm going to listen to that again. So it's definitely got some twists and turns and some different styles across the record that make it exciting to listen to. And it's just, yeah, I think it's been one of the most fun records that we've made. You know, it's definitely, it's took us out of our comfort zones a little bit, but in the right ways. That's been enjoyable to make, and doing different stuff across the record, trying different tricks. And like, I think Josh has been explaining it very well, saying we've been throwing the rule book out, which I think is a great way of describing what this record's all about, because it's got, I don't really know, it's just a fun record to listen to. I think it's a Friday night record.
Well, that's a great way of putting it. Get that quoted. And Josh, if there's like a song at the moment that you're really feeling from the album, if you had to pick one.
I think IOU. It's got all the sort of shades of music that I like in one song.
With a voice just like a reason, only time can erase you. The memory of you's unclear. In my review, you disappear. With the millions as far, and you know there's discard in the chorus, and usually I work through your inventory. Your one line is leave a shiner. You're not sober and I'm not either. Oh, I wouldn't see I'm perfect. You can tell that from the surface, but I'd like to know your verdict. Oh,
you from You Me at Six.
Forces Radio. You Me at Six with Hal Stewart.
BFBS.
How fanatical are your fans? I mean, you did ask them to get inked, to get tattoos recently, right?
No. We'd never encourage that. No.
All right.
What we said was, rephrase that if you want. If you've got a You Me at Six tattoo, show us. And we were sort of expecting, you know, a handful of people, and then literally the entries came in their thousands, and it was just sort of like, I think that's when you know that you're more than just a song on the radio, if that makes sense. And that's, I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean when you've been part of something, because obviously You Meet Six isn't just our band, it's the band that anybody that comes to our show or listens to our records, it's as much as theirs is ours, because you're a musician when you write songs, but you're a band when you have an audience that want to see you and want to be part of that movement. And I think when we saw the stuff with the tattoos, I just thought, wow, we've gone to a different place there. We've gone to a place where it's everlasting, you know? We're going to be part of those people's lives when we're gone, and when our music's no longer the thing that they remember us by, they'll just look down at their arm or their leg or whatever and be like, well, that's part of me for the rest of my life. So I think that's quite a powerful thing. And yeah, it brought me immense pride actually looking at that stuff, because I just thought, we've achieved something bigger than what we set out to achieve in the first place.
If there's one radio station where you can talk freely about tattoos, it is Forces Radio BFBS. Would you ever want to play a gig for a military audience?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, of course. I think, you know, these are the people that without their service to our country, that we wouldn't be able to have the lives that we will have, you know? And I think that as Englishmen as well, we're all immensely proud of our own country, but to have people go off and fight for our right to our freedom and to sort of, you know, to have the lives we have is a very, very, it's the biggest sacrifice you can do for anybody. I put your life on the line, so of course we're immensely grateful for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we have one of Dan, our drummer, his friend Jake was actually in the army. He's been out to like Afghanistan, and I think he's been to Iraq as well. And you know, times that you go away when you don't want to go away, and you're going for like 9-10 months, sometimes it could be a couple of years you could be away for. And you know, I think you've got to really pay respect to that sometimes life could be way worse and it could be way better, and these guys go out and do their thing and they look after us. And you know, I think like you were saying, if we could play a gig for the army, there's loads of places, like even just somewhere like Guam, you know, go out somewhere like that and play a show for the army and just go and actually chat to these people. Sometimes I think it's when you get to sit down and have a beer and chat about their story and what they've gone through, and you can kind of both reflect on times. I think it's quite important to be done.
Well said. Okay, Max, scenario for you. You're in Guam. You've got another free holiday. You're about to do a gig for our fantastic armed forces. What song do you open with? Got to be big.
It's got to be big. So I would say it's got to be something like Bite My Tongue to kick up the mood.
I hate to break it to you, but you're just a lonely star. I try to bring you down, but a level isn't good enough. You always do as you believe, so I'm gonna follow suit and take a seat or watch you fall apart. Cause in the end, what are you without me? I'll slow it down cause I know that you can't keep up. Oh, maybe I wasn't wrong from the start. I might be proud, but at least I'm proud of something. You've taken pride in becoming a
I wanna hate everybody, yeah.
Do you ever wish you'd been making music 40 years ago, you know, kind of the golden age of people, you know, buying more hard copies of albums and singles?
Yeah, I mean...
Free love. Should I just say that again?
Yeah, free love.
Who wouldn't want to be around at that time?
Yeah, it just seemed like, moreover than just the thing of selling records or whatever. I mean, look, I appreciate we are where we're at with technology and stuff these days, but I feel quite removed when I'm on stage performing and I'm watching people just watching it through their phone. I understand culturally where that comes from and why that is a thing now, I guess. I can remember the days when we were doing gigs and there were no phones. And I'm telling you now, those gigs were better because the audience are way more engaged. It's not about Instagram stories or tweeting your whole way through the show. And it was like living in the moment. And I think, and that doesn't mean to say that I'm not grateful for what we have now. And obviously, of course, we have great shows, but they're different. I always try in a non sort of confrontational way, I try to encourage people at our shows to put their phones away at one point in the evening. For the most part, people do, because it's just like, I just want you to live in the moment. You know, if you want to watch us on a screen, go on YouTube and watch our music videos. But right now you're in a place where every show is unique, every night on tour is unique. Even though if the set list is the same, there's always different moments within the set that makes a show unique. And I think to not be there present, I think is a shame. So yeah, that's why I would want to go back and perform live in that era of time, because I just felt that people were more in the room, if that makes sense.
Yeah, a bit more respectful as well.
I was just going to say, he says in the room, but don't forget free love, baby. They wow. Don't think they were in the room at some point, weren't they?
What a room.
What a room. Yeah. That's my kind of room.
Max, if you hadn't made it in this business, what would you be doing for a living?
Something in music. I don't know what if it would be a songwriter, if it would be a producer.
As long as it's not A&R.
Well, it could be an A&R. I love music that much, so I would have found something to do in music. That would have been my niche.
Josh?
I would have liked to have worked in football in some capacity.
As long as you're not an agent.
Well, why not, mate? Absolutely just pull all the Premier League clubs' pants down and just make loads of money.
No one in their dream scenario when they say about football says, I wanted to be an agent.
No,
anyway.
I would have liked to have been involved, especially now as I've... Actually, one thing that I've discovered from being in the band is I do enjoy... You know, we get a lot of fans after shows, like, talking to us. And so I've spent a lot of time with young people and hearing what they've got to say and hearing about their lives and talking about the power of music for them and stuff. And I think that's similar to sport. So I would love to, at some point in my life, work with young people in sport, just because I think it's a very powerful tool for change and for positivity. And I just think, yeah. I mean, football's such a... It is the universal sport, you know? The World Cup was watched by something ridiculous, like 4 billion people, you know? So it's like...
You'd have to convince me. It's the number one sport in my world. Now, my final question, because I've got to let you guys go. This is the big one as well. Got any questions for me?
What team do you support?
Sheffield United.
Why?
My dad grew up in Sheffield, hence why I was mentioning all the Sheffield bands.
So are you looking forward to ever being in the Premier League again?
Ouch. Josh and Max, from all of us, thank you very much and good luck with the new album and the tour.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
and big up to the troops.
BFBS, original music specials on digital radio, FM and satellite TV in the UK.
Online and on air around the world.
This is Forces Radio.